Now, assuming our two directors are elected today, how many of the board, in the board's current view, will be regarded as satisfying the requirement to have involvement in the grains industry?
The board hasn't taken a formal view on any other directors other than Mr. Chamaret and Mr. Fitzgerald in fulfilling that obligation. But I'd be quite prepared to put my hand on my heart and say that I think Mr. Grimway quite admirably suits that definition as well, given his extensive experience in agriculture.
So if there was a future situation where someone was running for the board in a contested contest against one of the two, would it be unconstitutional for that person to be voted off the board if they were deemed to be one of only two Grains reps, or would you then just have to seek another director after that election?
No, Steve, a couple of issues there. One, it's not related solely to the grains industry. This is broader agricultural experience as determined by the board. I think the second thing is also that the board will always be looking for a complementary set of skills to assist both in the governance of the organisation and also to be able to assist management in its deliberations as a management team. I think what will happen in the future, and it's really a question, I suppose, for the new chairman and the board, but I'm quite confident that the board will be much more proactive in terms of the seeking out of appropriate people and recommending those to shareholders, as is a normal practice and as it should have been done over many years, but we're unfortunately not able to do.
And under this constitution, who will be up for election at next year's AGM? Is the whole board up? Does it completely restart the board election cycle, having this new constitution?
No, the current directors that are appointed by under the current constitution will see out their terms and they retire by rotation. The two directors that will be up for re-election in February are Mr. Fitzgerald and Mr. Chamaret. The commitment in terms of the election of those two directors is only to the annual general meeting.
Okay, and look, my only quibble, and it's not a deal breaker, obviously, but in terms of the way you've structured the constitution for the appointment of new directors, you've got the old, what's called the no vacancy rort in there. And I'll read you the relevant bit where it says the maximum number of directors is 9 or such lower number as the board may from time to time decide. So in other words, you've reserved the right to declare to any outside candidate who nominates, sorry mate, there's no spot for you. Now, as someone who's run for 30 public company boards, I've had this.
I wondered where this was going.
I'm not necessarily saying I'm going to run for your board next year, but I'm just making the point that in 31, I think it is now, yeah, that in 20 of those cases, it has been statistically impossible to get elected. In other words, when a board does this, when they say there's no vacancy, when you combine it with the undirected proxies vote, that even if the outside challenger gets 100% in favour, they still lose. So it's a real gerrymander, that particular clause, when clearly, my view, board size is a matter for shareholders. So if Warren Buffett nominated for your board next year, a few of us might say we'd want to vote for him, and you could say, sorry, there's no room for Warren, and his 100% would still fail. So it's a minor thing, but
he'd probably just buy the company.
Well, he probably would, yeah. So, but apart from that, this is all good work, well done, and Brendan, I know it's been a hard slog, but you deserve a serious pat on the back for doing the heavy lifting in a difficult environment to get this reform program through. So well done for that.